The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
That was really, really well done. I know you don't like saying your name, but that was goosebumps right here. You can't see them, but goosebumps.
Me, Craig Petty. And Lloyd, we'll be all right.
I can't do a Welsh accent for shit. I really can't.
You went to like Birmingham accent then.
I did. I can slip into a Birmingham accent very, very easily.
Hello. Yeah, because that's not slipping into an accent. That's just fucking talking.
Oh, fuck off, you sheep shagger. But, man, the entire magic community is buzzing that Lloyd Barnes, the single most creative magician in the whole of the world, patented, patent pending, has decided finally to put together a membership site. That's exciting news, man.
I had no fucking idea where you were going with that.
Well, look, here's the thing. I know you don't like talking about yourself and your own shit, but the bottom line is
shit.
This whole section is about magic news. And we have to accept the fact that your channel has blown up out of nowhere. Almost 50,000 subscribers hang on your every word, you know, and you know, Kaylee's got her own fucking fan club at this point, just because of appearing on her.
Being a bit too kind, yeah.
And now you've got a membership site. You've given the people what they want. 1st of November, spill the beans, tell us all.
Blimey. I thought we were just going to talk about BGT or something for the first hour and how good Rylan is.
Fuck that shit. I want to hear
Peter Nardi's.
Right. And more importantly, I want to know.
Ball bag.
Well, there's always time to talk
slimy
about
slimy ball bag.
Slimy, but only when he's been in the shower.
Or not. covers himself in slime. Sorry, what the fuck? I can never look at him again.
I can't wait for Blackpool when you walk past Harry and the Alakazam stand and Pete standing there. I want to have a picture of you two at that point.
He's just going to have a nut out.
That's like me finally seeing Joshua J after a fucking year of Kermit jokes.
We need to make like sponge testicles and name them after one called Pete and one called Nardi.
Nardi's, and put them in a sack.
Yeah, yeah.
As a product. But hang on, you can't distract me away from this stuff. Even Pete's balls will not distract me. Okay, talk to us about your membership. You do it again. Talk to us, because I want to know genuinely. I've got a question for you. You didn't know I was going to ask you this, and I'm going to ask you: how in the loving fucking goddamn hell are you going to differentiate a membership site from the awesome content that you put on YouTube? Like, half of the TikTok magicians, half of the social media magicians these days are doing Lloyd Barnes tricks from your channel. I know that because I spend a lot of time on Instagram. They're all doing the amount of... If I see one more motherfucker put a Tic Tac box into a fucking card box, I swear to God, I'm going to brain someone. I'm going to literally twat someone to death with a Tic Tac box. I'm sick of it. Every single time I see a new trend on TikTok or on Instagram, and there's this new trick that everyone's doing, I'm like, right, I know what Lloyd did in the tutorial this week. Like, so
too kind.
You're putting all of this quality content up, genuinely quality content. Now, I have Netrix, and it's not an issue for me because my channel, I don't teach magic. So people know that if they want to learn the magic, they go to Netrix because they can't get that on my channel. The channel's for different stuff. You teach magic. So what's the plan on the 1st of November? How are you differentiating it?
Well, it's not really like a... What it is, I started my channel as a, like, I have two passions, creating magic and video. Like, I've done video editing since I can remember. My mum bought me my first camcorder, or I, like, pinched it off her when I was, like, 14, and I used to, or even younger.
You stole your first video camera.
Yeah, basically. And then, but I used to, like, edit video on a VHS player, so I'd use the different cables to, so I'd put in, like, the RGB cables in, the yellow one in to record music. I used to do skating. I would make skating edits with video, with music. You know, I love video, love magic. And when I was, after working at Illusionist for years, like, I was basically just, like, I don't know, I felt, like, constricted. Everything I'd made, everything I'd created, I wasn't allowed to share because it had to be turned into a product and pumped out.
I know, you hated that.
Yeah, it felt like it was just a fucking hen in a chicken coop, just being like, I was more like a cow just being jerked. Freshly squeezed milk. The milk's gone sour. So anyway, so I started a YouTube channel because I'm a scatterbrain, I'm like you. If I don't put the idea out, or if I don't get it down on, like, paper, you know, proverbial paper, then it's gone. And like the products that I put out now, the magic products, are products because they should be, and they deserve to be products. They can't just be, like, you know, taught willy-nilly, and it means I can, like, really hone in on them and make them good. But I have so many ideas that I just think are just, they can't be products, but I also just don't want them to be forgotten.
Yeah.
But they're not good enough to sell.
In your opinion.
I don't think they are. Like Acme Hole, I've said before, I never would have sold that. I would have just put that up on YouTube or something. And regardless of the whole exposure tutorial discussion, it's you know, that's for another day. We've already covered that a million times though. So yeah, basically some ideas are not good enough to sell, or I don't think they're good enough to sell. And I don't feel comfortable selling them. But also I want to share them because that's like a way of it. It's just a creative process for me. Like I get to the good stuff, like the good products. Not everything's a product. Sometimes it's for, like, you know, TV or whatever, or sometimes it's just a very fucking good effect. I only get to the good stuff by going through heaps of stuff, which is like B class material or C class material, right? So I use basically YouTube is a passion project so that not everything I fucking create in magic has to be turned into profit, because that's what it was for so long. So I use my channel on YouTube as my fucking outlet. So it's not about business. It's just about fun, right? And then, and there's an example of something which I've showed you in the past. Some stuff is way too fucking good for YouTube, or it's like very, very personal creations to me, or things that I take a lot of pride in, but they also can't be products. So one of the things, you know, remember I showed you that super fucking visual trick? And I won't tell.
Oh, yeah, because you never sell me super fucking visual.
No, do you remember it used this? I'm doing this signal with a card, and like this, and then you could see the key.
Oh fuck me! Yes.
You know that thing, right?
Like you were banking off the mouse there, but
I was. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Tyrion Lannister. so that we tried to make it into a product, and it fell through because of it's a bitch to make that many gimmicks. There's a coin in bottle. One of the first tricks I ever created, like super.
I know your coin in bottle. You taught me your coin in bottle.
Oh yeah, yeah. Super slow motion.
That is. I'm telling you right now, that is the best coin in bottle I've ever seen. Ever.
Thank you.
It reminds me. I mean, I'm not a big fan of his at all by any stretch of the imagination.
Don't say it because it might lead people.
Okay.
To
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. But it reminds me of a coin in bottle. But yeah. Much more practical method. A much better way of doing it. More visual. More fooling.
Well, this is the thing. It's completely impromptu. So unless I was to sell it as a download, and I don't want to sell downloads anymore. And it was the first thing I ever created properly. And it opened a lot of doors to me because I shared it with certain magicians that like started to take notice of me when I showed them that. It's not fit for a product, but I don't just want to put it on YouTube because it's so personal and so dear to me. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, so I have a bunch of tricks like that, which like they're like, in my opinion, because like, you know, one man's trash, another man's gold, and a lot of people think my magic is just shit in general. Yeah. In my opinion, it's really fucking good magic, but it's also not fit for being a product, but it's too good just to put publicly. Like the stuff I put on YouTube, it's mostly just fidgety, gimmicky stuff. You know what I mean? That you can just see through and it's just fun. But whereas the real gold, it's either, you know, it either gets put into the hands of like TV performers and stuff, or like if it's like something which is appealing, it goes as a product. And there's some stuff I keep back, but there's a demand for it and people keep asking to learn stuff. And the biggest video request that I get is my creative process. Like everyone, not everyone, but like it's the comment that fucking haunts me. What's your creative process? I remember when you interviewed me, every interview I get, same with you, people say, what's your creative process? And you can't really just define it in like an answer in an interview. And it is something which is like, there's techniques that I use that no other people use. And it's what separates me from, it's what gives me my style from other people, you know? And I don't,
I am constantly in awe of you as a creator. Like,
don't be so stupid. Don't, honestly, stop it now.
No, fuck off. You can literally, you can literally sit there with some cards, sticky back plastic, a pair of scissors, a scalpel, and a crafting table, and you can come up with like three brand new gimmicks in an hour. Like, you just can't. I can't do that. I would.
Yeah, but yeah, but different. Yeah, but you can just create like a thousand, like the Quantum Dex says it all. Chop, say no more. Keymaster, you are amazing. You are gifted.
In a totally different way to you. Like
very different.
What you do is it's very unusual that you all can. Right. I can't put myself under pressure. I can't do that. You thrive under pressure. How many times have you rung me up and gone, yeah, I've got to put a tutorial up later on today. Oh, right. What's it going to be this week? No fucking clue. I'm going to come up with it after I've got off the phone to you. I'm like, I'd be like shitting myself. I'd be shutting myself in. I'd be banging my head against a brick wall going, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. I have to be all
well, basically shit. Then the one way to say it is that the tutorials that will go on to the membership are things that I've actually worked on. And actually try if that makes sense. But yeah, so the big question that I keep getting and it fucking does my head in is the creative process. So I've never ever, like, I've spoke about it briefly, like I try to answer questions and interviews and shit, but I'm gonna just do like four as long hour video, 2 hour videos, whatever the fuck they are, videos, trying my best to break down the creative process that I go through. And it'll be coupled then with like live chats with like all, like every, the membership will have access to a Discord server that only you can get if you're in the membership and things. And it's just a lot of people, and I mean this with no ego or arrogance, but like a lot of people want to contact me. Some people just want to jam and show ideas and, you know, and because I've like come off social media and I'm just trying to spend less time just like doom scrolling and things like that, it does disconnect me. And there is windows of opportunity for me to like hang out with people, but I don't take them up on it. So it's just, yeah, it's just kind of that's why it exists. And there's put in it's only going to be fucking like a price of one coffee a week, like a tenner a month. And just by putting that up there, it makes me feel comfortable sharing the ideas and giving dedicated time to a community, as well as like tipping things, which I would really feel uncomfortable tipping publicly, like my creative process. So
that's it. I'll be the first in line.
Well, thanks, man.
Need myself a bit of bombs.
Thanks.
That's amazing. That's great. Look, I know it's going to be a massive success. I really do.
I don't really care if it is. It'd be cool if it was, but I still need to get these ideas out of my system. I have to. Like, they're going to just get lost and forgotten. And as I'm like filming and writing down things that are going in, I'm like, oh shit, yeah, there was this trick which I didn't release years ago because I liked it too much. And because I didn't release it, I fucking forgot about it. Oh my God, I want to teach them this. So even if it doesn't, even if there's not one single member, it's nice for me to sort of have like a modular space that I can record my ideas and just for it to be there and give myself sort of like deadlines to do it. That's the main thing. You know what I mean? It's like, this exists. I have to fulfill it. And for that, it's like it's a helpful process. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I totally get it.
Yeah. So November the 1st. And then just, if you're interested in it, just like check out my YouTube and I'll probably be chatting about it then.
Amazing.
Enough talking about my shit. I fucking hate it. What's going on in the world of Craig Petty? We haven't spoken for a week, genuinely, which is bizarre.
I can't remember the last time we didn't speak for a week. Like, it's just been manic busy for you. It's been manic busy for me. And yeah, we've just gone a week without speaking. But nah, it's been good. I went last week and filmed my masterclass with Vanishing Ink. I'm very excited about that. Vanishing Ink masterclasses, I've watched a lot of them. A lot of them are very theory-based, and there's a lot of theory and a lot of talking and a lot of, which is fine. I love theory. However, I just wanted it to be all about tricks.
Yeah. When you did your lecture at the session, and I'd said this off air and not to your face, but it was the one people were hyped about because they came in and learned a bunch of magic tricks, because that's what mainly people are there for.
And I think sometimes we get bogged down with theory and it's like, all right, let's spend an hour talking about this and blah, 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 which is fine. And that has a place. But I want to be known as the guy that just presents good magic that you can go and do, that's practical, that's actually workable, that, you know, you can do immediately. You don't need to, like, have any arts and crafts ability or anything. You can just literally go and do it. So it was just the masterclass was a collection of tricks, all of which have never been published before. All of which has never been seen before, never been on the Netflix, never been on any projects. And there's a load of killer material in there. There's some coin magic. There's a lot of people have been wanting me to talk about my stuff with the WoW gimmick. I've got 3 or 4 routines on there with a WoW gimmick that are really killer. I've got just a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of really cool stuff that I think people will really like.
I didn't notice you were going to put some coin stuff on there as well. I thought it'd be, how many tricks in total?
I think there's about somewhere between 25 and 30. I planned 30, but I didn't have time to do them all. So somewhere between 25 and 30. And I'm, unlike most masterclasses, I'm doing 3 sessions, not 2. Because it's going out of December, I was like, well, let's give people, you know, extra content. And let's
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas from Craig. So, so they're getting 3 sessions, each one themed to a particular subject. And then there's a 4th session, which will be a Q&A with me, where I'll answer any questions that people might have. So that was really good. I've got my very first Christmas trick coming out as well. I'm going.
A Christmas trick?
The theme trick, man. It's not your sort of trick. It will be perfect if you're a family entertainer, if you're a kids entertainer and you do close-up or something. It'll be perfect. It's with Alakazam. It's a packet trick, all based around the North Pole and elves and reindeer.
What the fucky?
Yeah, I'm serious, man. It's awesome. All right. It's a bucket list thing. I've always wanted to do a Christmas trick, so I'm doing a trick for Christmas this year. So,
well, sounds absolutely awful. Put me down for a copy.
And I fully expect it to see on the Christmas Fooler. Talking about Fooler, thank you for doing Gossip, man. I really appreciate it. I loved your performance. I really did.
I was supposed to have done it ages ago, and I received it off you, and I remember having a massive sort out in my kitchen. And I put it somewhere, and it was out of sight, out of mind. And I was looking for something to do, and it just, yeah, I can't get over how well it played. Like, I know obviously it's a good trick, but there's certain stuff which I don't know if it's going to suit me or my style of performing at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it really surprised me just how much it fitted me.
You did it really well. You did it really, really well.
I don't know. I fucked up. I literally didn't do the fucking name reveal where you find
some
out.
Some people don't. Some people don't. So it's totally not an issue. You know, some people don't do that bit. I do, but some people don't. But it always goes really well in lectures. It's always a really fun trick. But yeah, other than that, we've been putting together Ryland's show. Ryland's at the House of Secrets, 14th, 15th, 16th, so in a week's time. And we've put an entirely new show together for him. So he's been rehearsing that. And yeah, just been running the company and be busy running the company. So yeah, been busy performing, gigging, doing all that stuff. Anything else happening in the magic world that we know of? I know you're super excited about South Tyneside. They've just announced that they're going to have Danny.
That's what I'm doing right now. As I was zoning out for a second, I'm looking at Google Maps to see where the fuck it, how far away it is.
Bottom line is, it's about as far away from you as you can get.
Yeah, literally, man. I'm looking at it now. Because, like, my uncle lives in Burton-on-Trent, and I'm supposed to go visit him at some point.
Fuck, if you ever visit your uncle, come and see me. I'm literally half an hour away from Burton-on-Trent.
Are you?
I've got a gig in Burton-on-Trent this weekend.
fuck off. My missus was literally like, oh, should we go up and see him? My mum's been staying up there because my auntie's not very well. So she's been up there for like fucking 6 weeks, I think, which is great. And, but like, she hasn't seen the kid. So it's just, I was thinking of like going to Burton to see them, then traveling up to her family who are up in Longtown to drop her off. And then I could go over to fucking South Tyneside. It's a bastard of a drive, mine, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
7 hours, 51 minutes.
40 minutes to get to Burton on Trent for me. Literally nothing.
Shit the bed.
Yeah, you've got to drive past my house to get to Burton on Trent, literally.
Have I actually?
Yeah, pretty much you've got to drive past the house because you'll be coming up the M6. I imagine you'll either be coming up, depending on where from that godforsaken shithole you come from, you'll either be going up the M6. You'll either be coming in from the M5 or the M54. Knowing where you live, it's probably the M5. So you go on the M5, then you go on the M6. And then from the M6, you'll come off and go up the A, probably the A.
This is the best podcast ever recorded, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking amazing, isn't it?
There you go. This is shit.
So basically, to get to Burton, you've got to drive past my house. So there you go. I'm en route. There's no way to get from Wales to Burton without going past me. I know. Just drive fast.
I'm looking at the journey from Longtown to the fucking South Tyneside. That's an hour and a half.
Well, how about you tell people why you want to go to South Tyneside? Tell people about the convention. I know we briefly touched on it a couple of weeks
ago. I don't know much about it, to be honest. It just looks really fucking good. And now they've got, like, Javi Benitez is going to be there. He's a good friend of mine from Seville. And then they've got, like, a mad lineup, which, out of the blue, I think we talked about this before, but, like, Greg Wilson, Javi Benitez, Juan Luis Ribeal, Jeffrey Wang has now dropped out. And who else was there that popped up? I was just like, what the fuck? Like, how have they got this level? They just got great people. I can't find the full list now. Fuck it, it's gone. But like, yeah, just randomly. Wait, there, is there anyone I can see? I don't know. There's a great line. Oh, Paul Wilson is lecturing. Oh, so I've just seen Alan Hudson, Kat Hudson. I've never seen their magic, but I feel it's really good.
Alan,
I think it's a Welsh guy there. My friend, what's his name? Taylor?
Good friend.
Well, he's from Wales. Basically.
There are other people from Wales. It's a big place. Although it mainly consists of hills, valleys, and sheep, but, you know.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it, but then looking at our journey, fuck that, to be honest. Jesus Christ. 8 hours of driving.
Yeah. Welcome to the life of a gigging magician. Otherwise known as 8 hours of driving, otherwise known as Nemed's Easy Day.
Otherwise known as Tuesday. I'm just trying to think. Aside from that, it all seems rather quiet on the Western Front. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's calm before the storm. You know.
Has there been any magic drama been going on?
Only the drama that I make. You know. No, I'll save it until I'll actually save it until sorry, not sorry, unless you've got specific sorry, not sorry you want to be sorry about this week.
I ain't sorry for nothing. Well, has there been any further developments with Diamond?
No, it's all just gone away.
Oh, okay.
No one's talking about it. It's like I said, yesterday's newspaper is today's chip paper. You know, it's just disappeared. No one's talking about it. Diamond's got us really good. I mean, I did it in a gig again the other day. It's really good.
It's a good trick.
I like
it. I'm trying to think. Oh, I did. I'll have to tell you off the podcast because we can't speak about it currently. But oh man, yeah, no, I'm not going to be a cock tease. Like, I'll tell you something interesting off camera, off podcast. And I'm sorry for everyone listening. It's not that. It's just this. Literally can't talk about it now. But as soon as I can, I fucking will tell you all. But it's like major.
Fucking hell, I want to know.
Yeah, I know. I feel like a wanker now. We could probably cut that. Okay.
Fuck everyone else listening to the podcast. I want to know.
I'll type to you.
Okay, I'm excited about that. You do that. But yeah, there's nothing really happening in the wonderful world of magic. So I think we should move on to...
I just typed it.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wow. Wow, really? Podcast. We are having a message.
Right, we should stop typing now and let's just get on with the fucking podcast. Yeah. Holy shite, exactly. You could have said holy shite back. You didn't need to type that. Holy shit.
I don't know why I did that. That's stupid.
All right, new products. Let's fucking this is where we go.
New products. We have new tricks coming out. Murphys are just currently pimping something out called Alive. Have you heard of it?
No, I did just check the website, but I couldn't see it on the... What is it called?
This is Alive. It's a pre-order thing, so it's, I imagine, a Golden Pipeline type thing. A spectator thinks of a random word. You show a prediction, a few lines in random order to the spectator, and tell him this is his word written in Japanese. The spectator sees how ink moves on a pad and then turns into his word. And you give the paper away as an unforgettable souvenir. You can do a lot of any language.
Go on.
You get a blank gimmick. You can customize it however you want. Refill sheets of notepaper when it's over. Fits in your pocket. Easy to reset. 3 seconds and you're ready to perform again.
I do know this because it was me that brought it in. From Blackpool.
Oh, right. It sounds very good.
Yeah, it's super duper visual. It's like lines on a piece of a notepad, like a spiral bound notepad, and it's got random lines on it. And then they visually move and then reveal the word that someone's thinking of.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big thing that Murphy's pimping out at the moment.
Yeah, he was performing the shit out of it at Blackpool. Like, it's so it was definitely good. He's like he reminds me of like I don't know where he's from. Sergei Kohler. I'm not sure what country he's from. Like a Latvian Shin Lim. He's got the hair, he does all the hand movements and stuff.
Oh, wow. Okay, Latvian.
Men want to be him and women want him to be in them.
there's a quote from his website. Lloyd Barnes, he's the Latvian Shin Lim. There you go, that'll work.
I also seen that, it looks good. I also seen that Ambitious Lego by Julio Montoro came out.
Okay, I think Julio Montoro is very hit and miss. Sometimes the stuff he does is amazing, sometimes it's cack.
Yeah,
but
Mr. 50-50
is Mr. 50-50. I'm very excited, well, not as excited as Ryland, but I think this Lego thing could be quite good. If it's practical, it looks great.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, I seen almost the exact same trick, and I won't name the name because I don't want that person to think that I'm talking about their magic. You know, so someone shows you a trick and it's not been released, you just don't tell the people what it is, but somebody showed me pretty much the exact same trick, total different method, completely fucking different method. But they showed it to me at the session convention, and it's a shame because it was a really good trick, and I think the method is equally as good. Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you've seen them as well.
Yeah, I've seen it before as well. Yeah.
But two very different methods, from what I can tell. It's just a,
well,
it's
again, just a... we're into diamond cutter territory. You know, somebody brings out a trick, they're first to market. Yeah. If somebody else brings out a completely different method, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
But totally fine.
I'd wait for a while. I wouldn't bring it out straight away.
Or capitalize on it. Capitalize on any momentum and let people decide.
Yeah, that's very true. But yeah, that looks good. That looks really good. Penguin have just bought out Past, Present, and Future by Rick Lax, which is, I believe, a re-release, but they're just re.
Yeah, I think that it's 7 years old, nearly eight.
Wow.
But I'm guessing it. So I think they've made a gimmick deck for it this time. Instead of it being a download, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. And the thing that we talked about last week, do you remember talking about Split Ends? And you said you really liked it, the card that Penguin
bought. John Shack.
Yeah. His name? They've now bought out refill packs for King of Diamonds, King of Spades, King of Hearts, King of Clubs, Jack of Clubs, Jack of Spades, Jack of Diamonds, Jack of Hearts. So they've now got refill packs come out, which is quite good.
You can do quite a lot with those. Cards. Yeah. I really like that.
I know you do. Your friend and my friend, Kim Anderson, has a Penguin Live coming up very, very soon.
Oh, fuck. I need to email him back. Shit. I was supposed to email him the other day.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, I'm gonna email
I know him. His Penguin Live will be amazing.
Keep talking.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he messaged me and said, hey, can I have a quote for the Penguin Live? And I was
That's
like,
what he messaged me about as well.
And I've said, yeah, abso-fucking-lutely, no problem. Because
did you give it to him?
Yeah, I gave it to him.
Oh, I can't. I didn't do it in time. I just emailed him back saying, shit!
Yeah, I think
sorry, dude, is it too late? It's
actually put as a product thing. Don't worry about it. He's got quotes from me, Andy Nyman, Nicholas Lawrence, Adam Wilbur, and
why the fuck did he message me?
Andrzej Pryniński. So, quite a lot of people. His Penguin Live sounds amazing. Money for Nothing can produce his three Morgan dollars one by one. They vanish into thin air, blah, 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 blah. Card and a sewer, I scream, you scream, we all scream at voice controlled playing cards. This voice controlled deck does all the work in locating a chosen card. A nose job.
Kim Anderson actually is one of like the best living magicians. I'm not even talking shit. He's fucking incredible. Super duper creative. You know, some people have just got it when they perform. Like,
yeah.
They just, he understands magic. He understands movement. He understands positioning and his audience. And he never falters with it. He's very solid, but it like does, just doesn't do boring shit magic either. He needs to be far more recognized than he is.
Totally agree. Somebody else who's incredible, absolutely incredible. And I'm very excited about this masterclass. We've got a master. Huh?
Homeliwag?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the trailer for that.
Yeah. It's going to be
holy shit balls, Batman.
I love Homeliwag. I think he's amazing. Yeah. I can't wait to watch that. So yeah, Homeliwag's got a masterclass coming up. There's so much amazing content coming up on masterclasses and Alakazam academies and, you know, why did Murphy's stop the tables? Because for a long time, there were like four big things. There was the Alakazam Academies, the Penguin Lives, the Vanishing Ink Masterclasses, and the Murphy's at the tables. And then the Murphy's at the tables stopped. I'm really surprised because...
I don't know. I'm surprised that Penguin still do them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like... I'm glad Kim's doing one because he is someone that just needs way more light shone on him. But it seems like, as a rule, they've gotten the biggest and the best names to do the lectures. They've gotten everyone else in between. And like now it's like, fucking hell, they're going to have to start digging up the dead to start doing lectures. Do you know what I mean? And I think the same sort of thing with Murphy's. Anyone who was anyone at the time, and they invested a lot of money into it from what I can gather, because I wasn't working there then. And I don't know, it feels like potentially there wasn't much left to do. Or was that completely...
Yeah, but there's always new people coming into magic.
Yeah, but do you just want to hang on investing money into that? I know they were quite successful for Murphy's.
Were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of those things, I mean, you know, Breaking Bad ended on season 5 instead of dragging it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Leave them wanting more.
Yeah. I don't know.
Other couple of things that's worth talking about. Brent Braun has bought out the FPS Zeta wallet.
I really fucking like the look of that.
It looks lovely, doesn't it?
Yeah, it looks really good. I like it in the horse. Leather, whatever it's called, wild horse, it's called.
when I interviewed him, he showed me it, and I was like, that's really clever. And it is, you know, the idea of taking the FPS wallet, which was a great wallet anyway, and building a, building a Himba wallet into it, is such a good idea.
Yeah. What's the crazy horse, brown leather? I just like that name. Crazy horse. is like a carbon fiber version of a crazy horse brown leather. Yeah, there's so much you can do with a hidden wallet, and it's a card to wallet as well. I think I'm probably going to get one.
Are you? I don't even use fucking wallets.
Huh?
You don't even use fucking wallets.
I know. Such a shame. Card to wallet is such a good effect. I have performed it so many times, but I don't carry a wallet anymore. Could have stopped that. Is that really all the new products that are out?
Well, there's a new thing that you might be interested in. I don't know. Have you seen Velo by Vanishing Ink?
Yes. Yeah, I have seen that.
That it's not a trick. It's a display stand that you can use to display your cards in a really elegant way.
Mm-hmm.
A breathtaking display case constructed of high quality wood with a wide view clear acrylic top. It's designed to showcase up to 12 of your most cherished decks of cards, whilst also protecting them from dirt, dust, and harsh environments. I tend to just take them and shove them in the drawer until I need them, and then I take them out.
Them after the gig. Loads of mine have got like fucking actual mold on them. Like, I leave them in the corner of my room and it's just somehow they're fucking moldy.
But, you know, collecting playing cards. One thing that Vanishing Ink seem to do really well is they seem to just be able to spot trends and just bring things out that, like, people get excited about. You know, I mean, lots of people are collecting playing cards now, so they've got this thing coming out for it. I don't know. It just seems that they seem to have this innate ability to do stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's cool. Bit pricey, mind, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like me being cheapskate.
Yeah, when you could do exactly the same thing with a shoebox.
No, it is really, really nice, and there's a lot of work gone into it. Am I going to buy one? Probably not.
No. For the serious collector.
I'm a serious collector. I'm collecting mold. In fairness, I got rid of like 1,000 fucking decks of cards. Like, I just literally chucked them, threw them away. They're all old, like, illusionist decks, though. So,
my God, if you have 6 drawers and then put a clear velo on top, the price becomes £230 to store some fucking playing cards.
What was the other thing I just seen that was out? I like the Flipper Oreo. Cookie.
Oh, shut the fuck up, Lloyd. I laughed. I showed that to Sarah and Ryland when I saw the trailer, and I was like, look at this. This is just the most ridiculous idea I've ever seen.
What do you think so? I like it. No, actually like it.
Just because she can make a flipper coin into an Oreo.
I fucking love Oreos, man. I can't deny it. No, I don't know. Thing is, you're a giga magician, but there's something about that. It's just organic magic, isn't it? It's just something that I have mates over for like coffee and biscuits and shit, and so does the missus. It would be one of those things. It would be like a really fucking miraculous moment you could create from it.
I tell you what I did the other day around a friend's house who's not into magic. Yeah, afterwards. So I've got this friend and I go and see occasionally, and he's not into magic. He's not a magician, but he likes watching magic. And whenever I go around, he's like, right, you got a trick for me. You got a trick for me. So I always want to take him something to show him. And the other week I went over. And do you remember that really fucking old trick?
Yeah.
Where you take a needle and you slice a banana inside the skin with the needle.
Yeah.
When he went into the kitchen or whatever, I saw on his table a fruit bowl. And he also had some needles, or like, that's how fucking dodgy, doesn't it? There was a sewing kit there. So I just took a needle and I just prepped this banana and I just fucking prepped it. And then I was like, right, okay. I waited for him to say, hey, can you show me a trick? I'm like, yeah, of course I can. I don't know, grab a banana. And he grabbed the right banana. And I was like, I've been learning ninjutsu, but psychic ninjutsu, you heard of it? And he's like, no. And I was like, watch this. And I just did this thing, and then he peeled the banana and it just dropped to bits inside the skin as he opened it. He said it was the best trick I'd ever done, because it was his banana in his house. I didn't have a deck of cards, I didn't have any coins, I didn't have anything. To him, that was a fucking miracle.
Yeah, honestly, I think that some of the most memorable magic you'll do isn't presented as a magic trick. you know, I say that as in like, pick a card or watch the coin. It's like, it's completely, that's why that little flipper Oreo, I could see really just fucking someone up and just leaving a lasting impression on them.
Yeah, I suppose right time, right place. Yeah. Yeah.
Or I'm just being a cunt.
Yeah, there is that distinct possibility as well. I don't know, but maybe not.
Well, I don't know if there's anything else coming out really. I know it's coming out, but I don't know what's on the market.
Yeah.
I think I'm releasing, what the fuck is it called? Pro Caps.
Fuck you.
On Halloween.
That's, hey, that's the new big Lloyd Barnes trick, that is.
Yeah. This one, it's not like, it's not a big one, I don't think, for me in my head, because it's just a reimagining of a classic trick. I'm making it more current and up to date. For me, I really like exciting, like new principles and methods and stuff. It's just, I think this like, just needs to be out, but it's still cool. I really fucking like it. It's a good product.
Oh, it's a great product. It's incredible.
Not as good as some of the stuff you've got coming out with us, though. That shit is dope.
A while. It's been almost a year since I bought a Murphy's trick out, since the Quantum deck came out. Came out in February.
Is it?
Yeah.
Shit. It's about time we get a new one out, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah.
That's it. I can't really think of it. Is it really like that lackluster this week?
It's just, I mean, we've talked about a few bits and pieces, but yeah, I think it's a bit slim pickings. I think it's the calm before the storm. I think that everybody's Christmas gearing up coming, for Christmas, October and Christmas and stuff. I just think that, there's not really anything exciting that's coming out really at the moment. As I say, there's a couple of Penguin items, a couple of Murphy's items.
Well, fuck it. Let's stop talking about new tricks then and just move on to the next subject.
There's nothing we can talk about. I'm looking through it back and forth. You know, when you start fucking talking about masterclasses and Penguin Lives, that you know you're scraping the bottom of the barrel.
When is your masterclass going up, the way?
December. I'm the Christmas gift that keeps on fucking giving.
God. You're the creepy man that keeps jumping into my room once a year to empty his sack.
Now, let's not talk about sacks. We've already moved on from Peter Nardi.
It's glistening little plinth-style balls.
Oh, my God. Shit.
What drama have you been causing on your channel this week? Anything
no,
you can talk
I've
about?
I haven't been causing any drama at all. I never cause drama. I put a rant up last week. I can't remember what it was. There
that
was
passionate. Don't even fucking know.
I can't remember, man. It was... I can't remember. It was...
I thought the rants were done.
No, they're not. I'm doing them without all the swearing and shouting now, because I think it's important, because my channel's not about teaching tricks. It's about, you know, like talking about stuff that's going on in the magic community and stuff like that. So I thought, you know, there's a place for the rants as long as I don't go over the top. So that was my...
It's either you go on YouTube and rant, or you secretly beat the shit into your wife when no one's looking, just to get the anger out of you.
Exactly. Oh, I remember. I put creators stop releasing brain farts, and all it was is I just think with the amount of stuff I've been reviewing recently, you can just tell there's a lot of stuff that's getting released that hasn't been worked in.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like the stuff you put on your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the difference is, you know, they're charging money for a product and it's just ridiculous. And I just think if you're charging money for a product, it should be something that has been worked in and, you know, it's not.
Well, here's a question. Is it a bad thing?
Yeah. I was speaking to Scott Alexander about this, and I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again because it's a really good point. Scott, with all of the stuff like Penguin partner programs and all the various different places that you can now go and basically have carte blanche to release what you want. Mm-hmm. And with how accessible a mobile phone is to record things these days. Scott Alexander said to me that he's willing to bet that there's somebody out there that had an idea when they woke up in the morning for a trick. They haven't done any research into it to make sure it works. They haven't actually tried it in the real world to see if it works. They've just literally had an idea for a trick. They've sat there, worked it out, just after breakfast, they get a phone, they film the bloody thing, they edit together a really quick trailer, they upload it to the Penguin Partner Program, and by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, it's for sale and it's going out to everybody, and people are buying this thing that they've put no effort or time or energy into at all. And they don't know whether it's at, because here's the thing.
I did that with Acme Hole. That was me. That curtain was me. That's literally what I did. I created it on like the Monday, and then I fucking put it out on the Wednesday.
Yeah, but the difference is that was the company you were working for back then. You wouldn't do that now.
Nah.
You would have just bought out Procaps and just said, here you go. This is Procaps. It's a reimagining of this. Have fun. Instead of contacting me and having me work on it for a year and and so on and so forth. The thing is, there is not a single trick that I've ever released that was as good when I first created it as it was when I actually got to film the tutorial and the performances and the explanation and so on and so forth. Because in the period of time from creating it to working it in, I've improved it. Now, sometimes that improvement is a massive improvement. Sometimes it's a small improvement, but there's always an improvement, either presentationally or technically. There's always a way to actually improve this shit and make it better. And I think that if you're charging money for tricks, you want to put a physical product out or even a download, and you want to charge people money for it, I think that you have to at least have tried the trick out, and or if you don't perform, get somebody else to try the trick out and see if it works, and iron out some of the kinks before you actually start charging money for this. What do you think?
I mean, well, the thing is, anyone can ask for any amount of money to learn or for anything. Where my head goes is the music industry, or to like Amazon online ebooks and things, right? Like, yeah. And also I'll come to this. Well, anyone can release a song these days, and they can put it on iTunes or Spotify, whatever. I think it's iTunes for 99p or whatever price they want to charge for it, and the song can be absolute dog shit. Point in case is the you know, the guys who fucked over Katie, not fucked her over, got one over on Katie Hopkins. One of them's a magician, actually, Archie Manners. Remember that video? And he's a magician. And I randomly was on the phone to Rory, who was with him the other day. But they did a video that went out last week or the week before, where they invented a crap song,
right?
A purposefully crap song, and they crowdsourced a way to get it into the charts to prove a point that anyone can get any song in the charts, right? Anyone can become famous, basically, and get in the top 40, and it worked. And there's a YouTube video, and it's fucking interesting as fuck, super phenomenal. But they invented a song knowing that it was absolute garbage and put a price on it to do with it, whatever, like. And just because people are putting a price on it doesn't mean you have to pay the price to learn it. As in, if you don't want to learn it, you don't have to fucking learn it. I do think it's bad when people sell other people's tricks, but that's not the discussion here. We're discussing if somebody makes up any trick, you know, unique.
Okay. So as somebody who greenlights projects that are submitted to Murphy's, can you tell when somebody releases it, somebody submits a trick to you and they've not really put any effort into it?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And have that trick ever been taken on? Or do you go back to them and go, you need to work on this a little bit more?
There are instances where it's been taken on because the idea or the concept is very good and very original, but there's nothing else to it. So then you'd work on it with them, or, you know, they just sell the idea and you'd say, right, well, we're going to take this and put it to the team and we'll make a routine out of it and so on. So there is instances like that. But I think anyone should be allowed to make anything they want up, because at what point then, who are we to say, no, you're not allowed to do that? And then does that, like, if all these songs that are coming out, right, that are shit, or all these ebooks that are coming out that are terrible or whatever, then So imagine there's some governing body that says, nope, can't do that, can't put it out to the world, right? Even if you're charging for it, if you're charging for it, then is that one song that's denied entrance, then the does that stop the inspiration for a great piece of music being written ever occurring because there was something in it? I think there's mostly, there is a good idea in all bad magic, even if we don't see it initially. Sometimes it is all just dog. Sometimes it is dog shit purely. But I still think that one man's trash can be.
I would like to disagree with that. Exhibit A, Peter Egging.
Well, you got to be honest though. Like, even though some of his releases have been really poorly received, sometimes the ideas in them are good. There's a good idea that lives there. It hasn't been fostered. But who are we to say that he's not allowed to ask for? To put money on it. It doesn't mean anyone has to fucking buy it, but he puts that perceived value on it of XYZ. Is anyone in magic to think that they can tell him that's not worth that price or that shit? Everyone has the right to do that as well, but who has the right to say take that off sale, it's not worth it, unless it's a stolen product? And there's a massive difference there, because I think, well, I can give you examples, and one I can give you offline. But there's definitely been really shit tricks out there that have given me the spark for it to make a good trick. And if they hadn't been available, I would never have had it.
So as somebody who's very quickly built up 40,000 subscribers on a YouTube channel based on creating magic, you understand that your brand is everything. You understand that your reputation is everything.
Yeah.
Those 40,000 subscribers and those people that want to join your membership sites wouldn't be hanging on your every word if every trick that you bought out every Tuesday was just a bag of shit.
Yeah.
So from a point of view of somebody who wants to make a living as a creator, point of view of somebody who wants to be a creator and actually make a decent income from it and become a creator, would the advice be the same? Yeah, just bring out any old stuff.
Oh, fuck no. But we're not talking about this from the point of me caring about their reputation. I don't give a fuck about their reputation. What I care about is freedom of expression and to value your work. Whatever someone thinks of their work, if the person that's created it perceives or believes that they should be able to put a price on it of £5, $1, 60 quid, $100, we can advise and say, I don't think it's worth that. But who are we to say that you're not allowed to do that? That's where I'm getting at. If people want to go off and fucking ruin their reputation by putting out shit every week, crack on. It only helps make the people who do good work shine brighter. You know what I mean? You've got to have a chart of 100 top 100 songs when 99 of them are shit to have a number one spot that people like. I know that's one of those things where people will disagree with it to an extent, but do you know what I mean?
I understand exactly what you mean. Yeah.
I think it's got to rain to have flowers, and otherwise, I don't know. Maybe I'm just talking shit. I just think everyone should be allowed to put on any price they want for any trick, but nobody's at liberty to pay it. And nobody's expected to pay it. And if it's going to ruin their reputation, I don't give a fuck. I don't care about their reputation. I have friends that I love dearly. Like, I love you, man. And if you were going to put out a shit trick every week, I'd probably say to you, man, maybe hold off on this one. Or I'd try to guide you. But as a rule, like, I don't want to stop anyone releasing anything. And in fact, I sometimes take, like, not, I don't think about it too much, but if someone puts out a really bad trick and it's the same time that I'm releasing something and I'm really proud of it, great. It makes mine seem better than it probably is. You're like, you know, when you go sunbathing at the beach, you always find the fattest person to sunbathe next to, so you look a little bit thinner. That's why I want to invite you on holiday with me, Craig. Should we go to Barbados? I think you're skinnier than me now. You've lost a fucking load of weight.
I'm getting there. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there. But don't you think, playing devil's advocate, that it can have a negative impact on new people getting into magic? I have met people who used to be in magic and they got out of it within the first 6 months. And the reason is they were spending money on tricks and downloads, because when you first get into magic, you want that instant gratification. So you tend to buy a lot of downloads, and that's when you get into trouble, because there's a lot of shitty downloads out there. And, you know, people knew getting into magic that are buying tricks that could be brilliant. They could be the next Shin Lim. They could be the next fucking Greg Wilson, but they've got into magic. They've just, they don't know any better. So they've bought a load of shit tricks. They've got disillusioned because they spent a load of money on stuff that's just abysmal. They've maybe tried to perform and they've not worked because they're shit and they don't know any better. And they've just decided to take up another hobby like flower arranging or knitting instead. Right.
Then they were never going to be great. And there's no problem with that. They weren't going to be in magic. They weren't going to succeed. Because you learn in anything. Like if you fucking... If you cut yourself on a thorn bush, you learn not to go in a thorn bush. But you also realize that other flowers might have thorns on them, like roses and certain and stinging nettles. And you sort of start to realize that that pointy shape means that you bleed. And if you spend 6 months buying continual shit and not reading reviews and not doing due diligence and starting to learn, and you're still buying shit after 6 months, you're still getting pricked by bloody thorns. Do you know what I mean? Like it's, that's sort of like, mate, I wouldn't cross the road without holding your mum's hand anymore because I don't trust you. And also if you're willing to like, I don't know, for me, if I'd spent 10 years buying shit magic products, just like you, I would still fucking love magic because that flame doesn't get doused by being scorned by bad magic. And also, I try to look for good ideas and everything. So, yeah, some people are going to get fucked over. But it's you can only win and learn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. Like, I've learned now that I only buy, like, 5 tricks a year. No, 3 tricks a year, maybe. Because I've learned what I haven't learned what I like. I've learned what I don't like.
Yeah.
And that's good. It needs to be there. It'd be great if everything was perfect and everything was good. Everything was brilliant. But that's not going to happen. It's not. So yeah. I don't know. What was your conclusion to it? Or what was your sort of...
My conclusion is I just wish that creators would take a little bit more effort over their tricks, have more pride in their work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, but that's coming from somebody who you know as well as me. I'll show you an idea when I first have an idea, but it's a long process before it gets to a point where I'm comfortable actually saying, you know, I think this is now ready to release to the community or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate, which is why I spend so much time and effort putting long projects together, because that process, you know, would the Quantum Deck have 5 hours of tutorial if I hadn't worked it in the real world?
Yeah,
I could have gone to you and just said, hey, I've got this idea for this trick. It's a blank deck, blah, 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 blah. This is what it is. Not have worked your turn. You would have loved the idea because you loved it right from the very beginning and released it and just had a performance and an explanation. And this is how it works. And it could have been half an hour long.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm doing it the wrong way. Maybe I'm spending months and months and months, you know, figuring out all the problems and all of the issues and figuring out all of the different ways to use something, so that other people don't have to, because I want people to have pride. I want to have pride in what I release. And I also want people to enjoy it. And I want people to understand that if it's got my name on it, I have literally given it everything that I've got and there's nothing else to give, which is why a troll posted on the comments to that video that I put up last week and went, pot kettle black. And I don't normally reply to it. I'm like, fuck you. Name a fucking brain fart I've bought out since I've come back into the magic community, you silly little cunt.
Do you know what? I can't. I can't name a bad trick that you've brought out. The Christmas trick might not be for me, but I'm guessing you've actually gone out and performed it.
Oh, yeah. It's not
had for loads you. Of fun with people with it.
It's designed for workers who work for families with kids and kids entertainers. It's and don't forget, you know, I've run a kids' entertainment company for the last 15 years. I have as much experience doing magic for children as I do magic for, any other type of audience. You know, and yeah, I think that and this is a different subject for a different day, but I think that the kids' entertainment world don't get as much amazing tricks as the close-upers and the stage magicians. And I think that, you know, I think it'd be good for some company to bring out a really fucking awesome, like masterclass on performing for kids.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's just terrible jokes going through my head.
I just knew it was. I could see by looking at you, man.
But you know, I'm 100% with you. I think creators should be putting their due diligence in. They should be working a lot harder. If that's the discussion, then fuck yeah. Like,
but you don't think that people should be stopped from actually releasing tricks?
Nope. No, not at all. Unless they're stolen. There's a difference.
But what about as a representative as a company? Because obviously you don't have that same opinion with your Murphy's hat on, do you? Like, you're not going to bring something, you're not going to green light a project off somebody that's shit. You're not going to release something.
Yeah, just from a business point of view, you can only, you know, you get so many submissions. You can only time management wise and investment wise, but mainly time. Who can you handle, you know, I mean, I'm thinking as a team, probably like realistically handle 20 products, like projects that are going through the whole process at a time between like the five of us on the team. I used to, 1 year, I think I did 42 releases on my own at Illusionist. I was working on 42 projects at once. It was like ridiculous, but as a team, you should be doing more than enough. So if we were to have that approach of, yeah, anything goes with people who submit stuff, then it would just be a holy war. But well, come on.
There's a trick that's coming out through Murphy's at some point. I'll just put it in the chat from a friend of mine.
Yes.
Is that coming out at some point soon?
Yes, as far as I'm aware. And I thought it was, I'd seen the trailer years ago when I first started there.
Yeah.
But that's not my product. So like, not my project that I'm working on. So I have no fucking clue what's going on there.
Fair enough.
But I can't wait till it comes out because everyone's going to lose their shit over it.
Oh, it's going to be the trick of the decade.
Mm-hmm.
It's done.
You nothing can't keep saying that, Craig. Not until it's my release, and then you can put that quote on.
The amount of shit I got over that quote. The amount of shit that I got. It was so funny. What people don't understand is I fucking love magic, and I get excited about it when I see good magic because I see so much shit. Like, I've been sitting here this entire podcast recording, and I'm just sitting here playing with Kyle's light thing. Like, they're just fucking so fun to play with. Like, it's just so fucking cool. Just like wrap an elastic band around it, throw it in your pocket, you're good to go. This is amazing. I get excited about watching good magic. I get excited.
I'm exactly the same. I think that's my problem is that, like, I fall in love with tricks hard. You know, well, mind. I fall like when there's a new trick that I love, I love it. And that's the best in my world. It's the best thing fucking ever until the next best thing comes along. But in my head, I cannot be like, I go from like 0 to 100 and I'm a stage 9 Klingon for that trick for that time being, you know. And if anyone asks me, can you give us a quote? I'm like, yeah, it's the best trick I've ever fucking seen. Because in that moment, I believe it.
Yeah, I know exactly.
It's true, I do.
I know exactly what you mean. I really do. And it gets, I see so much fucking shit magic that when I see something that's good, I'm like, ah, this is fucking amazing. This is incredible. But I remember we were doing this podcast before Blackpool last year. And you were going on for about 4 weeks on the podcast before Blackpool. Every week you were like, wait until you see what Craig Squires has got to come out. It's the best trick ever. It's fucking incredible. It's going to set the magic world on fire. I love it. Blah, 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 oh, blah,
I fucking
blah,
love
blah,
that blah. Trick.
Yeah, I know. Have you ever performed it?
Yeah, I did it on Fula.
Oh, did you? I didn't know you
yeah.
did it.
Oh. Yeah, it was one of the first things I did on there. Yeah, Kaylee fucking loved it. I love it.
It's
put that in your pipe and smoke it, prick.
I love it. Like, I do it a lot.
What's the best trick that you've ever fallen in love with, or the trick that you've ever fallen in love with the most that you have that you got and then never did? Oh, I better know what it is for you.
What?
The Yao Miranda wallet.
I haven't got it, have I?
Because every time you went, you seen him, you turned and walked the other way.
I've fucking been avoiding him.
What's it called? The legend wallet or something, isn't it?
No, I'm never going to use it. So, oh, there's Joel's stand. I'm walking this way. I need to. Have ever done that? I do that because I've pissed so many magic dealers off. It's fucking nightmare walking around Blackpool for me at the dealer stand. Because I know that half of the dealers are pissed off. So I'll be walking down one of the aisles and I'll see a dealer stand and I'll immediately take a sharp turn to go in a different. I'm like, fuck. Now I've seen, oh, fucking hell. Now I've seen Paul Gordon because I went through a fucking year or two of like fucking having a feud. But I'll go that way. Oh, fucking hell. Now there's this. It's I have a nightmare around magic conventions, especially big ones.
I have the same thing, not because I've fallen out with people, but because I'm like, I'm a yes man. I'm like, yeah, we'll do this. Yeah, we'll do that. Oh, yeah, come and do that. And then I see someone and it's like, oh, Lloyd, right. Remember you said you want to go for that 3-hour meeting during this convention about a project that in my head, I'm like, it was okay, but it's not worth 3 hours of my time when I'm paid to be here sort of thing. I'm like, yeah, let me just catch up with you later, bye-bye.
And then avoid. Yeah, totally with you. Yes, I'm trying to think. It's probably a Joel Miranda product, although I am trying to put it into my show. I had, you know, Cardiographic by Martin Lewis.
Yes, where it animates on the pad.
Yeah. A classic magic trick. Classic trick. Years ago, I bought the Joel version, which is electronic. It's the same thing, but electronic. He got Martin's permission to create it, and I bought it years ago. Just never put it in my show. Wanted to, never put it in my show. I'm now trying to put it into my show because Martin Lewis has just died, and it'd be a nice thing to do as a rest in peace. This is my homage to you. You may be dead, but your legacy lives, sort of thing. So, why are you smiling?
Oh no, sorry, I was just sending a funny text to someone.
All right. I was talking about Martin Lewis is dead, his legacy lives on, and you're just there like giggling like a schoolgirl. It's like fucking hell.
I wouldn't even, it's fucking gross. What the message is about.
Oh dear me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is there anything that I don't fucking buy anything. I got the Fall from Noel Coulter that I really want. Actually, I might perform that. I'm fooling. That's a good shout.
Maybe. Yeah, you should do.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, it's one of those things. Anyway, I'll be on to unpopular opinion.
That was kind of partially unpopular opinion, but yeah, we were on to unpopular opinion, definitely. The brain fart thing was part of it. Although there's something that I'd like to talk about. I had a couple of trolls on my channel. I put a live performance video up, and they made some comments. I can't remember what it was. It was about oh, Craig uses the same hack lines that haven't worked for years, and you know, just the same old crap that you hear magicians from 20 years ago, and his presentations are just not relevant, or something along those lines. I don't care, but. The point that I took, fuck off, the point that I took from this is you hear all the time from a presentational point of view, and I'd love your thought on this. You hear from a presentational point of view, you hear all the time magicians going, oh, I'm gonna you know, I'm not gonna use any cliched lines, I'm gonna use I'm gonna script my presentations and make them blah 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 blah. My attitude, and you've seen me perform, my attitude when I perform is I'm making it up as I go because no two groups are the same. I have literally no idea what I'm going to perform until I go over to them and then get a vibe of what that group's like. There's no way I could script what I'm doing because I go off in a tangent. And yeah, I may use lines that have been around for years, like, have you ever helped a magician? You're not helping one right now. And
you change your mind, or you're happy with the one you got.
But the bottom line is those lines work. I know they work because of the reactions I get from my audiences. You've seen me perform in the real world using those lines. It's not like they're being nice to me. I get genuine reactions from those. It's why I get booked again and again and again and again by clients. It's why clients come back to me and say how, you know, how amazing it was, and I want to book you again, because I'm entertaining. And partially what makes the, and for me, that's what I focus on more, not the magic, but the entertainment value. For me, I'd rather have people walk away going, that was entertaining, that was magical. Yeah, I'd like them to be both, but I'd rather have people entertained, because I know there's a percentage of people out there that don't like magic. And I my goal there is to get them to enjoy the performance, because it's not about the magic. And you've seen me on stage, you know that. You've seen me do close-up, you know that. I don't need to tell you that. But I have no problem at all using those lines. And I suppose the unpopular opinion that I want to share is, you know, why are magicians so obsessed with not using lines? You say, yeah, as a magician, you've probably heard them 1,000 times, but lay people haven't.
They that's a point I was going to make. Lay people haven't. It's one of those things. It's like, it's magic snobbery, isn't it? Like, personally, I don't use those lines, but I don't give a fuck if another magician does. And what did I watch the other day? I went back and watched Wayne Dobson, a bunch of Wayne Dobson online, but his Royal Variety performance and a few of his pieces from his Saturday Night Show. And Wayne Dobson uses loads of classic lines and his own interpretations of them as well, and his own version. And he fucking slays. And in his Royal Variety, and I might be misremembering now, because it was back when I went to the Erdnase thing in Germany.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, maybe. I remember, I'm sure he used some like not, hold up that hand on another clean one and things. And he performed for the fucking Queen using those lines and absolutely crushed everyone. And yeah, those people hadn't heard those lines before. And if they had, they're so quick and they're so timed well that people, they're more like they just exacerbate the performance and they're an extension to the performance. And I don't think that's the thing people go when they, if they were to see you again, they go, ah, he used that line last time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it makes, if you've got the style, like your style is quite punchy and fast. And you sort of like, you're attacking them. And it's like this Spitfire style magic. And then you leave them with the effect at the end. And it builds, it constantly builds. Every line delivered is building to this big crescendo. And you get a massive round of applause and people go crazy for you. That's your style, and it would be you wouldn't get the same effects if you weren't using one-liners. Now you could try and fall in line with the magic snobbery and be like, well, I'll make my own one-liners. But it, at the end, you know, because some people complain about that. Oh, I've heard that one before. I'm going to do my own gags. Still a fucking one-liner. You know, it's still a gag thrown in there. It's you know, for high horse.
And I've worked at places like military bases. I've worked at places like Smoke and Mirrors. I've worked at places like comedy clubs, where if they perceive that you're doing hack lines, that's they'll come down on you like a ton of bricks, but they don't. Because, you know what I mean? I'd rather put more of my focus and attention on stuff like learning how to be entertaining, how to, you know, I think the biggest problem magicians have is being likable. I think the most important thing that you need in order to be a successful close-up magician is be likable. Be the sort of person that when you go over to a group, they fall in love with you and they want to listen to you.
Do you know what's I spoke about this before, but it always surprises me how, because I spent a lot of time watching you perform to real audiences, how well those lines go down. And it's more about the delivery of them. If you deliver them like you're saying them for the first time, but people, I've got the footage, people genuinely fucking bowl over laughing at them. And it's just, you know, do you want to change your mind, or is it the same mind you've got, or stick with the mind you've got, whatever. People fucking love it. And like, I'd never let snobbery get in the way of me not doing something like that. And I have for so long. And it's from my experience doing these Fooler episodes to Kaylee, where for years I would just show her the magic that I like, right? Which is like A-cans and some good stuff that I would tailor for her. Like when I first met her, I tailored some effects purely for her. But then I did things like Perfect Pen by John Cornelius, which is just a, you know, a standard like Sharpie through thing, but a bit more to it. For me, that wouldn't be in my wheelhouse. And it's definitely not something that I would perform. And to this day, one of Kaylee's favorite ever tricks. Chop by You is not a trick I've ever performed in any capacity. And the reason I like it is because it's so organic compared to Chop Cups, normal Chop Cup routines. But again, I would never have done that. But the more I'm performing and the more I'm, what I'm saying, it's not the more I'm performing, it's the more I'm giving a fuck about my audience. Like I'm doing, what I'm looking for now is tricks that I think Kaylee will like.
Yeah.
Not what I like. And the more I'm doing that, they're becoming the tricks that get the best reaction. And it's the same with those, I'm doing air quotes, those hack lines. They might be hack lines because someone's a magic snob or a magic connoisseur. But at the end of the day, you're really, really making people laugh and have fun. And oh, let's think about having those hack lines that give you a moment to breathe, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, when you do, if I'm going to do like something with mnemonica, so I need to calculate some maths, I have just certain lines. Like, do you want to change? Are you happy that was a free choice of card? Do you feel like I influenced you in any way? And I can say that whilst I'm calculating stuff in my head. And it's the same as a hack line. Like for me, I say that to give myself a moment to recalibrate. And I guess it's like the same for you. Any moment you could throw a line out, which gets you ahead mentally to take a bit of a breather.
Yeah.
I assume.
Absolutely. And also, it fits my style. My style as a performer is somebody who really just doesn't give a shit. You know, I just come across as this person who's not pretending that magic's real. I'm just there to have a good time, and hopefully they're going to have a good time as well, which is why I don't care about doing ballsy stuff, because if it goes wrong, I really couldn't give a fuck. You know, if they see me load a card in a box right in front of them and they go, oh, you just put that card in the box, I'm like, yeah, well done.
Yeah, I've seen you do that. See you, yeah. Like, yep.
Give yourself a medal. Oh, sorry, did you think this was real? Oh, right, okay, weirdo. Yeah. You see me wearing a big fucking cape with a staff going, you shall not pass.
On a tangent of hack lines, and people complaining about those, it's funny, David Blaine's doing like a press junket now for his new live tour.
Yeah.
And I'll probably get crucified for this, but now people recognize it. And he has been doing like talk show appearances more and more over the last few years. Blaine's doing the same tricks pretty much in every, you know, slight tweaks to it, but mainly he's doing like angle zero type stuff where he tears the corner off and it's reappearing somewhere, or he's regurgitating stuff. Or what's the other thing he does a lot of? I can't fucking remember the top of my head, but he's doing the same tricks on every TV show. Or minor tweaks to it. And this, we're not talking about one magician here and another magician do a hack line over and over, but he's doing this to global audiences. And I read the comments section because I was going to talk about something else that he said in a he did a Hot Ones, which is where you eat hot wings while being interviewed. It's one of the best YouTube channels out there. And the comments sections, because he gets millions of views on these videos, people are losing their fucking minds over these tricks. But it's the same stuff he's doing on Fallon. It's the same stuff he's doing on Hot Ones. It's the same stuff he's doing to news reporters. He's doing the same stuff over and over again and absolutely crushing it. And I think there's something to be learned from that, you know, which is to not worry if people see you do the same thing twice, if they see you say the same line twice, if other magicians, because that's, I think that's the worst thing. He probably gets more hate from other magicians that he's doing the same stuff than the people that actually are important.
Yeah. You know? I'd agree with that. Yeah.
But all about, go on.
No, I was just going to say, ultimately, bottom line, let's stop the magic snobbery.
Oh, that's never going to go away though. People, I always think about magic snobbery like this. You know, when you first become an atheist, unless you're not an atheist, I think you are an atheist, but when you first realize that there's no God, for the next 2 years afterwards, you want to fucking tell everyone. You want to explain how you're so smart and how you finally. And I think it's like magic snobbery. You get to a point in magic where you think you're really good, and then you start to criticize everyone because you've got to a position where you're now, you know, you're a connoisseur of magic. So you start talking shit on everyone, on everything, because it's not up to your standards. And then it takes another few years for you to realize, oh fuck, I knew absolutely nothing. I made an absolute cunt of myself. And I feel like I went through that stage with obviously knowing there's no such thing as God, but also with Magic, I remember, like, I think I spoke about, like, leaving a few fucking shitty comments on really bad products that came out because I was a Magic connoisseur, you know? And then only, and the thing, and things like, you know, I swore I would never do SpongeBalls, but the more I'm giving a fuck about my audience, the more I'm like, I'll probably do SpongeBalls at some point.
Yeah, I agree. You should never say bad things about Magic products.
But what I'm trying to say is, I think the people that are Magic snobs,
I
put them in a league of, you're not a beginner, you're not great, but you're getting there. So I was just like, I don't look down on them at all, but I think, you don't really know what you're talking about, do you? or you'll be very embarrassed in a few years.
Yeah, that's it.
I was them. I was that arsehole.
I see so many people giving advice online and they have no fucking clue what they're talking about. They are literally speaking out of their arse to make them sound good. I saw a post on a Facebook forum for magicians the other week, and it was somebody wanting advice on marketing. And that's fine. And the person that replied gave him some advice on SEO and on search engine optimization, which was completely wrong. Completely wrong. And I went back and looked at this guy's profile, and 3 months before, he was posting on the same Facebook group going, "Hi, I need a website. Does anyone know how I can build a website for free?" So hang on, 3 months ago, he didn't even know how to build a fucking website. 3 months on, he's giving advice on SEO and how to actually optimize your website for search. Fuck the fuck off and go fuck yourself, you stupid fucking bellend.
It's only advice on SEO, mate. It's not like a Steve Jobs being told that sticking cabbages up your ass saves cancer.
Anybody can give advice. But come on. It just didn't. The stuff he was talking about was just dribble. It was like he was just saying stuff to make him sound like the smartest person in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, but some people just like the sound of their own voice, don't they, Craig?
I know. I hate people like that.
I spoke more than you today, so I'm a fucking hypocrite. I can shut the fuck up.
We've got to talk quite a lot on a podcast, else it'll be kind of shit. It's just two silent podcasts.
In fairness, we did spend like 5 minutes just texting each other back and forth while recording.
Which is a little fucking low even for us. but we're almost done now because I've got to get it off. Have we got any readers' questions?
We do.
Of course we fucking do. Do you want to send them over to me quickly?
Yeah, why not?
Gareth Whitty hasn't asked a question in a while.
I know. Where the fuck is he? I missed that.
He's got his own mentalism group that I'm a part of now. He's putting all.
Why am I not a part? Does he even listen to the podcast anymore?
Because you're not on fucking social media, cunt flaps.
Yeah, there is that.
He's got a group where they talk about mentalism. And it's called Mentalist on a Shoestring. So if anybody's listening to this and you want to get some Gareth Whittyisms, go and check out Mentalist on a Shoestring. It's quite a nice group by the looks of it. But where's my questions? You're sending them over?
I've emailed it. It's from Daniel.
Daniel Lee.
Daniel right, Lee. Okay.
Let's do this, Daniel Lee.
Have you seen the Alliance Woven Back playing cards on Penguin? They're $100 a deck.
No.
They just look like a normal deck. It's not even like a, doesn't even look like an embossed tuck. It's just. Yeah.
Right. I think we might have listened to this one, but we'll try it. Hang on.
Hey guys, this is Daniel Lee again from the States. It's been a while since I've sent in a question, so
we did this.
We rushed through it.
Craig first, so I don't get cussed out again like last.
Yeah, we did listen to this guy. Yeah, because I was wanting to leave to get pizza. And
here we go. It's one from
2.5 minutes.
One from Tyler.
Oh, Tyler. Oh, well, that's okay.
We like Tyler.
We do like Tyler. Tyler's good.
It's an email. It says, been trying to get this question answered for quite some time, but messaging Craig on Facebook or his Magic Team email doesn't seem to work. Peter Nardi's balls, he says. Sorry, I just have to get out of the way. Craig, have a shit week for not seeing the question.
Tyler. I didn't even realize he has sent me a question. It came through the 20th of September. I didn't even realize. Do I play it off this?
Yeah, but I'll read the email. I'll finish the email. So, Craig, have a shit week for not seeing my question, and Lloyd, have a shit week just because you're a sexy little cunt. Love it. Fucking love you, Tyler.
I got the question. I'm going to hit play.
Take care, boys. Okay.
What's going on, Rylan's dad and the Sheep Shagger? just been thinking about going to Blackpool for the Magic Convention next year, and I just wanted to ask you guys if I should, and why I should, if I should, and then if I do end up coming, that's what she said, where should I stay, like, what should I be expecting, stuff like that, where's the hangout spots, just what to expect from my first Blackpool Magic Convention. So, thanks, guys, I hope you have a great day, and I will talk to you guys in the future. See ya.
Yeehaw!
Great question. Yes, you can fucking come. Then we can hang out. 100% you should come to Blackpool. What you should bring with you is a raincoat. You have to understand that this is Britain and February is very terrible weather. Blackpool is on the coast in the north. And when I'm talking the north, I'm talking the weather is generally like not Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones north. Like the winter isn't coming, it's calm.
It's the wind in Blackpool that's so vicious because they got that, like that. Is it the Irish Sea they pick up the fucking wind, the breeze from? It's fucking ice. Ugh.
So bring
gloves,
clothing,
gloves, because you'll be using your hands for tricks and your fingers in them. It's my number one tip for Blackpool is gloves.
Yeah. Also, in terms of where to stay, generally, you want to get as close to the Winter Gardens or the Ruskin as possible. There are a million B&Bs and they are all shit. They are all shit. Blackpool is known for its shit accommodation. If you want good accommodation, you've got to go further away and then you're going to have a long walk back to the Ruskin because you're going to be there all day. There's no Ubers in Blackpool. You've got to get a taxi. There's no Ubers, so they won't allow Ubers over there. So I would stay as close to the Winter Gardens as you can. There are a million B&Bs. You're going to have a room that you couldn't even swing a cat in, but all you really need is a bed. And, the breakfast that you'll get is probably poisoned, but it'll taste okay. But I think the key thing is you're not going to sleep for like a week. You're not going to sleep from the day that you get there until the day you leave. You're just not going to hardly get any sleep. It's just going to be nonstop because it open, and you're never going to get a chance to see everything. You're never going to get, there is so much stuff going on at Blackpool at the same time. It's not like your normal magic conventions, like a Magic Live where it's all like, there's one thing, then there's another thing. No, there's a fucking million things going on at once. And you have to pick and choose, like, and all of it's good. It's like, okay, am I going to see the Greg Wilson lecture? Am I going to watch the international close-up performance? Am I going to watch the competition? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? There's a million things that are going on at the same time, as well as having the most ridiculously insane dealer hall that you've ever seen and loads of sessions, spots where you can just sit down and you can session with people. It's impossible to see everything. So you just try and you're not going to sleep because there's stuff going on. You know, as soon as the dealers shut and the program stuff shuts, then you've got the gala shows, which are amazing. Then after the gala shows, you've normally got something going on after the gala shows. Like it might be the Beat the One competition or Not the Gala Show or the Magic Podcast Live, which is always a shit show. Then after that, there's the Ruskin, which is the convention bar. That's a 5-minute walk down the road that's open until 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. You get an hour's sleep and then you do the same thing the next day over and over again. It's, you ain't going to sleep, but it's amazing. It's like Christmas for magicians.
Yeah, it is. It's, there's not a convention like it. The scale of it. And that's the thing, like the main point you touched on is that you're not going to see everything because they run in line, so you'll have three of the best lecturers lecturing at the same time. You just gotta fucking pick one and go to see it. But the fact that it's quite open source, so if you're not enjoying a lecture, you can just walk out and go and see another one, which doesn't tend to happen. But and you're not gonna sleep. B&B use booking.com, and I think they use it in America. I'm pretty sure I've used it in America, but booking.com will really help you. And you want to, I think it's called Albert Road, is it?
Yeah,
is it Albert Road? Is like the main road to get a B&B on, because that is on the Ruskin Street and it's right next to the Winter Gardens, which is the convention center. And yeah, you're going to be spending your time basically up till 5 in the morning every morning, 4 or 5 in the morning every morning, mainly in the Ruskin, which is a giant bar, which is where all the real magic happens.
And you'll sit down and you'll have a session with some of the biggest names in magic.
Yeah, like it's nothing. The thing I'll say is consider your flight times. So coming in from the States, it's normally that you're jet lagged, right? Because I wake up really early when I go to the States, but when I come back, I'm jet lagged. Yeah. So consider your flight times, and you maybe just to like, because you want to get that full Blackpool experience, if you can get in a day before, at least like at least 24 hours before, just so that you can like enjoy that whole thing. Mind you, you are going to stay up late, so that might be you will be on American time zone. So, and also, I've started going up on the Wednesday. I think it runs from Thursday to Sunday, doesn't it? But I've started going up on the Wednesday. So, yeah. If you are thinking about going, maybe fly in on the Wednesday or Tuesday even.
There is an auction on the Wednesday. I mean, it's the single most boring thing. You and I walked in, if you remember, on the Wednesday. You and I walked in and walked straight out within 5 seconds.
Balls. But get ready, man. Get on. I've been to all the conventions. Not many I haven't done. FISM's, done Magic Lives, done random ones, Masters of Magic. Nothing's like Blackpool. Blackpool is Mecca.
Oh, and the other thing, I want to give a shout out to the House of Secrets. Russ Brown's House of Secrets, right next to the Winter Gardens. And he's got some special stuff planned as well on the Wednesday. So there's a lot of people that come down on the Wednesday, and he's going to have some, I don't want to spill the beans, it's up to him, but he's going to have some ticketed performances and masterclasses and lectures going on the Wednesday at the House of Secrets that he's going to be advertising, which I think is just a fucking amazing idea.
Isn't the podcast meetup happening on the Wednesday?
Yes, the podcast meetup's happening on Wednesday as well, and that'll be at the House of Secrets as well.
Hell yes. So, dude, yeah, definitely come in, at least be there in time for the Wednesday for the podcast meetup. And that will set you in good stead then for the rest of the weekend, because you'll be able to put faces to names.
Absolutely.
And find out if anyone's a wanker, so you can avoid them.
I mean, you already know that we are, but you know.
Yeah, avoid us. And here's the thing, I keep saying this, but if anyone doesn't know anyone at all, and come and hunt me down, and I'm happy to hang out.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Great question. I'm getting excited for Blackpool already, and it's not even here. Have we got any other questions, Lloyd?
I think that was it.
Great.
I think I'm fucking starving.
Yes, well, I've got to head over to the office now. Of course, I've got a person coming in at 1 o'clock, so I have to go and see them.
All right, then. Well, have a shit day, everybody.
Thank you once again for joining us here on the Magic Podcast Live. We really appreciate you joining us. If you haven't already done so, please go and subscribe to the podcast via your favorite podcasting platform. If you get time, please follow us on Instagram, where we never fucking post. Then go check out our Facebook page, where we never fucking post. And then go check out our discussion group, where we do actually communicate, but only me, not Lloyd, because he's on a fucking social media detox and you can't get hold of him anywhere unless it's on YouTube. We'll be back again next week with a lot more unpopular opinions, swearing, and talking generally about bullshit and Peter Nardi's love spuds.
Love spuds. Oh, fuck it, Al. Right. Piss off.
Yeah, all of you fuck off. We'll see you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.